All right. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our monthly gathering, the Friday with Friday, second Friday of the month this month. So first Friday of the month last weekend was not only my birthday weekend, but it was also the weekend that Province 2 gathered as a face-to-face Brotherhood event for the first time since 2019. So given the given how big that weekend was, I you know, I'm sorry for the delay, but we're back, baby. So with that in mind, I would like to introduce to you all, let's reset. Brothers, please help me welcome Brother Michael Swan. He was initiated into the Pi Psi chapter at Texas A&M Commerce on November 24th, 2008. He transferred to Mu Xi chapter at Stephen F. Austin State University, where he served as vice president, as well as alumni relations officer, though he did not ever get involved at the province level. He is currently active within the Dallas-Fort Worth Area Alumni Association. He was a music education major and graduated from Stephen F. Austin State University in 2015. He currently teaches privately and freelance in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Brother Swan started RBG Esports with a brother, Josh Arcia, in April of 2018. Since then, they've grown an organic following and have become a staple in a variety of competitive games. I personally got to meet Brother Swan through our interaction as active gamers, most specifically Pokemon Go. We're also very interested in growing the fraternity in a positive way. The title of his talk is The Business of Brotherhood. Brothers, please help me welcome Brother Michael Swan.
Yay. All right, cool. Thank you. Thanks, Brother Friday. So when I was thinking about giving this talk, there was a couple of different things that crossed my mind. And the information is pretty standard. If you own your own business, or if you're involved at like a major decision-making level in your own business, or if you're on the executive board for your home chapter or your alumni association, a lot of these things just kind of make sense. But in the light of, like, framed in the light of what's going on in the fraternity right now, over the last year, 2 years, basically the entire length of the pandemic, I haven't really seen a lot of brothers like talk about these things, whether it's on Facebook or at province workshops or any kind of provincial gathering, or even at the chapter level when I go back to Mu Xi or talk to brothers still at Pi Psi. And when things get bad in the fraternity, and I use bad loosely, but like when troubled times arise within the fraternity, a lot of brothers just choose the answer of brotherhood, sociability, like getting back to, oh, let's just go hang out, let's be social, let's focus on those types of things. And while those feel good, feel great, I have tons of fond memories of chapter retreats and parties and brotherhood nights and social gatherings that are just awesome, but those are band-aids. Those don't actually solve the troubled times that we're having. They don't propel us forward. They allow us to just kind of hang out and tread water. And for us to actually, as a fraternity, grow in a positive and meaningful way, we're in 2022 now. It's time for us to evolve in how we function. And for a lot of that really revolves around, for me, how chapters themselves function just purely at the collegiate level. I know in Texas, especially in Province 32, where I'm pretty active now, we're at a point now where we may lose two active chapters. Like recruitment stopped, activity has stopped. I don't know if chapter reports have actually been filed. And there's literally two chapters who have very awesome, very nice histories. Like, they've been around a long time, and they're just going to dry up and go away. I don't know if Brother Friday, if that's your, if you've seen that in Province 2, but I'd be willing to wager, by and large, across the U.S., a lot of provinces are seeing this issue where, because of what's happening, lack of direction, whether it's lack of direction or lack of processes or what may have it, we're seeing the decline in membership. We're seeing the possibility of chapters shutting their doors.
Could I comment
on that? Yeah. Go for it. Yeah.
So without a doubt, 100% correct. Across the board, the average chapter size within our province has gone from, I'm going to say, somewhere around 21, 22 brothers. It's down. It's down considerably. I would say average chapter size is probably somewhere between 12 and 15 at this point. We did have one chapter, Epsilon Alpha chapter, Ryan's home chapter, get down to 3 collegiate brothers last semester. They initiated 7. They are doing much better now.
No, that's phenomenal.
My home chapter has been as low as 5 collegiate brothers. And after they initiate 2 and graduate some brothers, they're going to be down to 4 in the fall semester. So they're still looking for some guidance and leadership.
There's one of the chapters here in 32. I think they have 9 actives, but 7 are graduating this year. And I don't think they've recruited. I don't think they have an initiation class for this semester. So they're going to be going into the next school year with 2 actives and basically having to hit the reset button. And if they don't do it, then they're toast. And a lot of this lack of recruitment, and a lot of this just overall lack of function, to me, really stems from how we treat the chapter. To me, this is something that I tried to get going, and I have some examples that we'll kind of like show and talk through. At Musai, like, I was a big proponent back in 2012 for us to have a public Facebook page, have a website, have Twitter, have social, like, be active on social media. We see a lot of, in my industry, in the esports industry, and in just gaming in general, we're seeing a lot of growth and a lot of visibility because of social media. And it's something that the fraternity by and large has struggled with. Even if we look at, say, the national office's Twitter, or if we look at the national office does an okay job on Facebook, but even then, like, Facebook to me is an outdated social media platform. It's not as heavily used. I mean, it definitely has purpose, but it's not, to me, it's not as engaging as, say, Twitter or some of the other platforms. So what I do at RBG, when I'm looking at how we're growing, I look at, we set like certain KPIs, key performance indicators. And this is something I talked at length at the last Province 32 officers training. I basically made a point of showcasing that, like, the VP role at the chapter level, by and large, in the national constitution, the VP doesn't have a whole lot of roles. There's not a lot of responsibility. Your job is whatever the chapter tells you, like, whatever they decide in their chapter bylaws, and then you sub in for the president when the president's not available. Like, that's what VP does. Whereas, like, the VP, since it's an office that doesn't have a lot of responsibility, your VP could be your social media manager. Like, I think it's important that a chapter has that. Back in the day, in like the early days of like websites and the .com boom, it became pretty apparent that like chapters needed to have some sort of like historian webmaster. And that's kind of like how the historian changed over time. But like back when Brother Friday was in college, like, it was people walking around with Polaroid cameras, but now we have almost like professional quality cameras like in our hand. Like, I have an iPhone 12 and I can, like, I shoot full form video for RBG for this, like, stuff that we put up on YouTube, things that we post on Twitter. Like, I run half my business off of this device, and I would be willing to bet more than half of the active membership has access to this. If you have something like this, even if it's like an iPhone 4, like, you, we can be doing a lot of stuff. So I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to look at some really good examples and maybe some not so good examples. Let's share here. So this is my home chapter. This is the public Facebook page for Find Me Off the Symphonium Use I chapter. This functions just like a business page or anything else like that. It's not a personal page. That's the big key difference. So you can have like three or four actives, give them the responsibility of being admins or editors for the page and keeping it up to date. And they've done a fairly good job since I left of posting. And this is like just easy. Like this, to me, this is even content. Like this is not stuff that I do at RBG. Like this is, oh yeah, no, we have this event. Let's take some pictures and post. At RBG, like we could take these pictures, take these photos, and then like that one picture can turn into like three or four different pieces of content. But the big thing here, like this is, and why I encourage every chapter to really start doing stuff like this, is you want to create something. Like the key to like success at the chapter level is community building. What's good being social if we don't have people who want to hang out with us? That's like the big business of fraternity in general, is creating something exclusive that people can't go get themselves. All right. So we want to showcase what it like. You want a glimpse. You want to give a glimpse behind the door. Like what's so awesome about Find Mu Alpha? And I don't think it's not something it's hard to do. It's hard for like the national office to do because it's not their job really. But at the collegiate level, we can really showcase what it looks like to come be a brother of Find Mu Alpha. So like Musai's Facebook page looks really good. I'm a huge fan of it. If I swap over, does it change? No. Let me new share that screen. So this is Zeta Sigma's. Did it share? Hold on.
Brother Swan, we're now seeing Zeta Sigma PMA.
Good, good. Okay. So
I believe that when you just change tabs up top, you don't need to do a new share.
Oh, perfect. Cool. So Zeta Sigma, this is Zeta Sigma's Instagram. And I'm a huge believer in Instagram. It's by and large, I know it's owned by Meta, which owns Facebook, but this is by far a better platform. Because it's going to really reach out to the people you want. You can post graphics for your fundraisers. It's ideal for pictures and creating engagement. Like it's a big thing. You want to create engagement. There was this post here. This is the Trombone Studio in general, and a lot of the brothers, Professor Decker, showcasing after Xavier Mancada had his master's recital 6 days ago. But 68 likes on an account that has 249 followers. I'm not a math guy, but 68 divided by what does it say? 249.
It's about 27%.
27% conversion rate. Like that's insane. Like that's huge. That's enough. That kind of engagement, and that's not the only post. Like this photo featuring Brother Jackson Stradley. 59 likes. That's still ballpark over 20% engagement. And you don't see that a lot. And as you grow your following and create and showcase something that's important to campus, important to the culture around the universe, whatever university, as that follower account grows and if you can maintain that conversion rate, at that point, you then have a product that you can go, I can go, Zeta Sigma, we're out in Lubbock. Let's see. I can go to, I don't know. I was in Lubbock probably 2 years ago. Pick XYZ restaurant. You can go to the XYZ restaurant and go, hey, we have a really killer social media following. We want to do this fundraiser. We'd like for you to sponsor. We'll do some curtailed stuff for social media for you. And in exchange for that, how about XYZ restaurant makes a donation to our charity of choice. And then on top of that, you can, I mean, you are fully within your right to be like, okay, and on top of that, let's do like a $250 or like pick a favorite number. It doesn't really matter. But at that point, you can actually bring funds into the chapter for you to then use for your general fund, whether it's creating a scholarship, creating stuff to buy new R supplies or whatever the chapter needs, or whatever you use your general funds for. It creates a different revenue source for you to then go out and do brotherly things, like go out and hang out, have a chapter dinner, like, and have brothers not have to fork over money for that. And to me, like, once you reach that point, like, that's where, one, you all are having a good time because you're out doing brotherhood stuff. And then on top of that, you're developing real good business sense. You have a direction for the chapter to go in. You're creating things. You're providing value. You are, at that point, you can then really make the argument that you are not just recruiting for Phi Mu Alpha. You are a recruitment tool for whatever your university is. Zeta Sigma is recruiting. Because we have such a cool following at Zeta Sigma, people want to come to Texas Tech because they want to be part of Zeta Sigma. They want to be part of Phi Mu Alpha. They want to go to Zeta. They want to be in Zeta Sigma chapter, and they want to come here to Texas Tech. It's one of the big reasons why I almost transferred to Oklahoma University, because Mu chapter, I don't know if they actually have like a if they have their own Instagram. But even then, like 10 years ago, they had such a cool, unique atmosphere that traveled by word of mouth that I wanted to go there. I wanted to be a Sooner because of that. And when you can transform that, those ideas, and create something marketable, you then, the sky is really the limit. I wanted to take a moment to get caught up on chat because I wasn't really looking at it.
Yeah, let me give you the highlights. There's definitely been a couple of suggestions as far as marketability to alumni that may not be using the same social media platforms that everybody else is. I think that it would be interesting to get your perspective on, you know, use of Facebook versus Instagram versus even something like TikTok.
Yeah. Well, and this gets back to when social media in general, to get engagement, you need to go where the people are. Right now, people by and large are on TikTok. Like that's where it is. And if there were brothers that actually really dived in to use TikTok and used it from a fraternity perspective, there would probably be a lot of support there. And I know when I discover that there's a brother on TikTok, if I'm like scrolling the For You page on TikTok and I notice or learn that a guy's a brother, it's almost an instant follow, especially on, because that's going to be content I want to see, especially if it's stuff that aligns with what I want to be involved in. Like there's an account called Mr. Conductor, I think, on TikTok. And I was following him because I'm a musician. I was just hanging out. He was doing cool music content on TikTok. And then there was one day he made a video wearing letters. And I was like, oh. And the entire comment thread was nothing but "so let it be." And I was just like, oh, yeah, no, this is hype. Like all the comments, instant follow. Because like for a lot of the way the TikTok algorithm really functions, like if you really liking or like following a creator is huge, but like that's the ultimate form of appreciation on the platform. Because if you say you like XYZ creator, you're like, you enjoy their content, you don't necessarily have to follow them to keep seeing their content. Like it just shows up in your For You page. Like you don't have to actively hit the follow button. Whereas like on Facebook or on Twitter or even on Instagram, if you want to be engaged and plugged into someone's content, like you have to follow, like you effectively have to, because it's not going to feed it to you. Like TikTok literally just feeds it. So if there were brothers that wanted to basically like really invent like Symphonia Talk and have that be a thing, there's definitely a place for it. YouTube, especially with like TikTok's kind of like TikTok's kind of like a trendsetter type deal with this too, because when Vine shut down, there really wasn't a platform for like short form video. Instagram Reels was kind of a thing. Then TikTok just exploded it. And at that point, that provided traction for Instagram Reels. And that's when also YouTube Shorts came out. And they all kind of have similar algorithm functions where if it notices that you watch certain content, it's going to start feeding you more similar content from similar creators.
Part of me wonders, as part of all of this, I wonder how many of these social media platforms have sprung into notoriety simply because of the idea of, I don't want to use X. X is for old people, so I'm going to do this, as far as like the next generational push.
I'm not sure. Only because it's a really classic funny meme at this point for me. And it speaks to me because I experience this almost every day. Things like videos that appear on TikTok, creators will then upload to say Instagram Reels or another platform. And so if I see a TikTok that I really like and I think it's funny and I send it to say my mom, like, mom, this, check out this funny cat video or whatever it is. She won't watch it because she doesn't want to be involved in the new hip happening thing. She doesn't like it. It's for kids, but whatever the argument is. But then a month later, she'll send me the Instagram reel of that video. And I just have to shake my head and go, well, mom, I literally just showed you this. Like, if you watched the TikTok I sent you, I literally just showed it to you.
Intergenerational communication, man. Like, that's it right there.
Yeah. So for us, when we're talking about like the business of brotherhood and creating content pipelines to elevate what we do, for us, like, it's going to be like whatever you create for TikTok, it's an auto upload to like Facebook Watch or Instagram Reels, whatever. Like, if you have like, if you create chapter pages for the public Facebook page, for Instagram, and for say TikTok or whatever other platforms you want, whatever videos or whatever pictures you create to tell the story of your chapter, to be the beacon of, this is what's awesome about XYZ chapter, you should be here, you're going to automatically upload those to each platform. And if you have an entrepreneurial spirit and you know who Gary V is, Gary Vaynerchuk, his content flow is probably the best example of how to be effective on social media. Gary V will go give a talk, some presentation. It'll be something like this, where it's him talking about a topic or doing Q&A, and it's recorded. And then his guy, like, he has like a whole team of editors, and they'll take that hour-long discussion or 30-minute podcast, and then they'll start cutting, slicing, dicing it all up. And from that point, that one time, this, like, just like we're probably, and I may end up doing this here with us, things like, they go find all the really cool nuggets that got shared, and then they'll splice it all up and then throw it out into the internet to create, from one event, create 12, 20, 26, 31 pieces of content that all then cross-pollinate, cross-breed, create interconnectivity, and it has greater effectiveness in delivering the message. So if we want to create a better environment and attract more people, and not just music majors, because I fully believe that Phi Mi Alpha is better off to not have a chapter full of music majors. if you want to effectively grow, bring in the best people, the literal cream of the crop on campus, and showcase what's great about Phi Mi Alpha, having a really strong social media presence that you can then create a case study to get better involvement from the university. You can create revenue stream with it. You can do all sorts of things that if you even have just an inch of an entrepreneurial bone in you, you can then go out and really make effective change and be a huge voice, a huge beacon for the fraternity in a very, very meaningful and positive way. Let's see. I don't have TikTok. Is such a thing searchable?
That was in reference to Brother Hernandez's previous question. Do we have any chapters or alumni associations that are using TikTok on a larger scale outside of individual members?
I don't, like, I don't know. I've never actually searched for, let's see. I got have the computer in my hand. If I search, because I have this too. I ran a search on Twitter for just FIMU Alpha in general. And I've always been kind of curious what comes up. So under FIMU Alpha, let's see, we have top searches. Okay. So there's, and this is like, there's a, not a chapter, but there's a brother. Goes by the name Lem the Subwoofer. And he's just singing the bass two part to Hail.
Yeah, he is.
And you like the cool thing about TikTok on this platform too is like you can, I can hit duet, record another part of the Hail, and it creates, it'll like on the new version, like the of my duet, there'll be harmony. So you could actually have, and I've thought about this in the past too, getting a couple of brothers together, make a TikTok account for each person, and then start recording Red Book songs. Cause this platform is good for that. It's better than acapella. It's a better platform. Like musicians do really well on TikTok. Now under the users section, who is this? That, I mean, they got the crest as their logo. That actually looks like a person. The national headquarters actually has an account. It's got 3 followers. I don't know if this is the real account. It may just be a test thing. It says FIMU Alpha official. It's got 3 followers. No idea.
You find out who the followers are.
I know. I've clicked on it, and it's no one I know. It would have been like super telling if it had been like Marky Mark. Okay, Pi Zeta. Yeah. Pi Zeta has an account. Gamma Rho has an account.
It looks like Xi Omicron is University of Wisconsin Whitewater.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was reading. I was like blanking on how to read that. So yeah, it looks like there are some chapters that have it. And again, this is a perfect thing to like just post funny videos. Like if you out are doing a Brotherhood night and someone's like, the Pi Zeta one has like pictures, videos of them bowling. you use basically viral sounds, create funny moments, and that's a really good way to hop on that trend to then create further engagement. Now, the biggest thing when it comes to this kind of stuff, when we talk about community building and doing this kind of stuff, utilizing social media to really elevate all the really cool stuff that we do within the fraternity, whether it's at the collegiate level, the province level, or at the national level, is you need to have brothers buy in to those platforms. If we look at the national, the official FIMU Alpha Twitter, it's only got just under 4,000 followers. Ballpark what? There's about 10,000 actives. What's the math on that? How many ish?
I sincerely doubt we have 10,000 collegiate brothers at this
point. Probably now. It's probably declined a great deal.
I would say probably between 6,000 and 7,000.
6 and 7? Still, yeah. It's an extra 2-3 grand there just on the actives. I'm sure the alumni count is at this point much, much higher.
110,000.
Yeah, 110,000. And I know Twitter's not like a... Twitter, for the most part, is probably more of a millennial / Gen X platform. So like baby boomer brothers may not be all that excited to be on it. But again, that's why we also utilize Facebook and other things, other platforms like that. Basically, all of the accounts should, the content themselves should be near identical. You want to, some things do better on Facebook than they do on Twitter. For example, like video by and large, just terrible on Twitter. Video just in general does not do, even like short form, like 20 second stuff, just doesn't do all that. Like it, for whatever reason, the Twitter algorithm doesn't, it'll push a graphic, like Twitter's perfect for that. Video content, unless you have like a really beat, like beating the drum following, video content does far better on Facebook, especially if you're linking to say stuff for YouTube. But like this kind of stuff, like what the national office is doing for like convention faculty, that's like this stuff typically will perform very well. Now the biggest issue probably with the national office Twitter, as we scroll through, 5 likes, 1 like, 6 likes, 1 like. And like the national office is really good about posting like your group pictures for like initiation, but they're not tagging anyone. There's no like, because you can tag on Twitter too. And there's no like, if Kappa Sigma had a Twitter, like this would be huge. Like tagging Kappa Sigma, massive. Because at that point, like if I do something like for RBG, let's say we recently like go over a Rocket League team, but like when we had a Rocket League team, like if Psyonix or like the Rocket League esports Twitter, who's got 90,000-100,000 followers, if they tweeted something out and tagged RBG, because like say we have a match coming up, that it notifies us, and then we retweet it, and then all of our followers see it, like it just creates a cascading effect where it's got 8 likes, 1 retweet. And I love Ismail. He's, if you don't know Ismail Rivera, he's a really fantastic brother. He's all over the place. He likes everything. He's super active with brothers. But if Kappa Sigma had a Twitter, does Kappa Sigma have a Twitter? I'm going to find out. No, they probably don't. If they had one and were tagged, once the VP or whoever your social media manager is, pick your favorite, even if whoever has access to the account, when they see the notification, you basically just spam text all your brothers and go, hey guys, National Office just tweeted us. They tweeted a picture of our initiated class. Go like and retweet. Like that's, I do the same thing with RBG. If something really cool happens on social media or we have a campaign that we're pushing, as soon as we start getting traction, it's an instant message to everyone in the organization, players, staff, content creators, community, like heavily involved community members that I talk with on a daily basis. I'm like, hey, new social media campaign or new thing just came out on Twitter. Go look at it. Go like, go hit retweet. Because you want to increase exposure. And this, if this is their initiation class, I'm jealous. What is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. 17 new brothers initiated on April 2nd, 2022. Love it.
That may actually just be the entire chapter at this point.
Oh, no, you know what? It probably could be. You're right. It probably could. It probably is.
So I wonder something real quick. They have these, you know, nearly 4,000 followers, mm-hmm. And they're getting, you know, 8 likes at a time. It makes me wonder, are brothers just following just sort of like obligatorily? Like, oh, hey, I'm part of that organization. Yeah, I guess I'll follow them.
So that it probably is. And that gets back to when you have these platforms and you want to increase engagement, you want to really get your community to beat the drum, you need them to buy in, like turn on notifications, be active. And part of that, a big driver for that is the types of content that you put out. So for the national office, they always do this, welcome our newest probationary members. The a lot of they've been doing a lot of stuff for convention, and I love the actual graphics and content they've done for National Convention. It's good. It's communicative. It's nice to look at. It's good. Happy chapter days. Like, and this is these are really cool to see. Like, it's just good. It's good. Kind of generic and bland because it's like they have two tweets the same day. So they need to start having other, like, I would encourage them to start having other things that they create. Things that are engaging. Because like you want to create things, because again, when you get back to the community building, you want to create stuff and provide things that are exclusive to you. Like, what is something the national office could do that people can only get by coming to Twitter? You want to, I mean, and that's an open forum. If anyone has an idea, like, I mean, feel free to share, but it's just something for the night. Like, for me, if I was going to sit down with Eric Smith and talk about what could we do to drive better engagement on Twitter, it's Eric, I want you to think about what can we be doing on Twitter that would drive engagement? Like, what are we not doing and what do brothers want?
I know the answer to that. It is what? Dirty bathroom selfies in various bathrooms within Lyrecrest.
Oh man,
that's the quality content I want to see.
Quality content, but yeah, there's give like you could we could do they could do some sort of giveaway like oh and the, now we have National Convention coming up. The national office Twitter, like the actual national HQ Twitter, would explode, I think, if they ran a Twitter campaign where they gave away the cost of attendance to National Convention. Like, retweet, follow. It's the classic Twitter campaign. Like, we do it all the time. If I want to increase impressions or increase follow count or do something like that, I'll go out, we'll buy a graphics card, or we'll buy a PS5 or some exclusive thing, some hard to get thing, and set a target date. So it's April 8th today, 2 weeks out from today, we're going to give away one PS5 to a lucky follower. Be sure to follow RBG Esports on Twitter, like this tweet, retweet this tweet, tag a friend. And then after 2 weeks, we'll have a random number generator select a user, and then we'll ship off whatever the item is. I have never seen the national office do any kind of giveaway, and they could have the Symphonia store, like they can give away a lettered jacket or give away a red book or it doesn't have to be National Convention, but like where you like for our, like a lot of esports teams do like a Merch Monday thing, and it's something that I want to start doing with RBG is every Monday, and like we'll send out the tweet at noon, we'll draw a winner at like 6 p.m. So you have 6 hours to be involved, and if you like, retweet, engage, whatever, follow the account, we'll ship you a t-shirt, ship you a hat, a jersey, like we'll have some sort of merch item. Like the fraternity could do that, and it would drive engagement. What's up, Dave?
You know, we used to have these, you know, get-togethers at Lyrecrest where we would bring in all the PGs or bring in all the CPRs and actually mm-hmm. do a convo. How great would it be to just grab a songbook from the Symphonia store, have all of those brothers sign a message into it, and do a giveaway?
Especially for, like, because, like, I mean, we all understand that like not every brother is going to be like super invested in the fraternity and be a nut for history and want to be a part of making history. Like there's plenty of brothers just along for the ride, but if I knew that the fraternity was going to like do a giveaway and I could win a songbook, like say it was signed by like Brian Stratton or something signed by like Jervis T. Underwood or something signed by even John, even like John Bon Jovi, someone with historical value to the fraternity. or a list of like old school PGs or some CPR, like whatever it is. There's plenty of brothers that like have like absolute love, devotion, fire that like they would get hyped for something like that.
Get a national executive committee to sign it.
So, yeah, something.
Now it's like a piece of history.
Yeah, like there's a lot of things that the national office could be doing, and they simply don't. And it's kind of, I mean, that kind of gets back to the whole why we're in such dark times now, is that there's a lot of things that brothers would want that the national office just simply won't do. And so to make up for it, like, let's have Brotherhood Night, or let's go out for dinner, or let's do stuff instead of like doing things to make effective change. Now, luckily, we're going to have the opportunity this national convention to hopefully have change. But again, hopefully, but even then, that change, it doesn't, I don't think it does the national fraternity any good for us to go into the national convention, make a bunch of changes that we feel are for the better, and still, and then not have some better culture and processes at the collegiate level, because it's not just going, it's really hard to like make that happen. The effective change is not just an instantaneous thing. Like I'm a bigger guy and I've been trying to like lose weight and all that stuff. And for me, when it comes to making changes that I know it's for the better, but it's still like, I used to drink a ton of Dr. Pepper. I used to have, man, at my heaviest, I was drinking like probably 6 12-ounce cans of Dr. Pepper a day. Like it was, I crammed it. It was my go-to. Especially if I'm gaming or doing something or like just out with people, going out to dinner or whatever, like out hand mouth. I'm just consuming Dr. Pepper. And so I made a decision that I wasn't going to drink soft drinks anymore. And I wasn't going to have traditional energy drinks. Like I just cold turkey decided I wasn't going to do it anymore. And the only way I could do that was I made it part of my personality. It was a personality. I made it a personality trait. I was going to be the guy that didn't drink soda anymore. That's what I was going to be known for. If they go, oh yeah, Michael Swan, he's an okay guy. Did you know he doesn't drink soda anymore? Like that's like that. I wanted it to be something people knew about me and it would help hold me accountable and force me, because I'm the guy that does that. So when it comes to creating these changes, like we need to have super passionate, active brothers that are like, all right, cool. I'm going to be the guy that documents all this stuff. I want to be the guy that posts on social media. I want to do these things, because a lot of the time, and it's gotten so much worse over the pandemic and the national emergency, that it's gotten really easy to just be apathetic, go to Brotherhood Night and just hang out and have a good time. But like, we should be documenting all these good times, creating ways to make like have this be part of our journey to elevate what we do. But yeah, as we keep, I mean, and now I'm looking at this Purim post. The national office, and I don't know if it's Eric Smith making these graphics or not or whatever, but it's one template they do for all the holidays are the same thing as the chapter day stuff. And that's okay. It's fine. But like, there's nothing engaging here. There's no reason for me to hit like, other than for me to prove a point and just hit like. There's no reason for me to retweet something. Even if they just broke it up and started sharing like famous Sinfonian quotes, like they don't have to be anything secretive. Just some like something out of the oh my God, I'm blanking. It's been so long since I've been in a chapter. The themes for Brotherhood, just like quotes out of themes. And that's something that you can automate. Like they're automating most of the stuff anyway. Like when you, like that's what the Sprout Social thing is. They're scheduling these tweets, or at least Eric is. Like you can schedule quote tweets. Like that's not hard. Even if like, you don't even have to attach a graphic to it. Or if you wanted to just have like the old portrait of like, if you want to tweet a Percy Jewett Burrell quote, grab the portrait of Percy, throw that up there, have the quote, send it off. Have an Austin quote, get the picture, get Austin up there, schedule the tweet. Like information and information stuff, like I think the informative tweets the national office does a great job of. It's fine. Oh, Phi Alpha Pi Psi. This is my initiating chapter. And they do an okay job. Like, to me, this is like seeing stuff like what's cool happening at the chapter. Concerts, nice stuff. This is very similar to something that like they basically modeled this after a graphic that National Office would make. And the National Office has some like guides for stuff. At least they did when I was a collegiate. Like they had some like guiding branding, some branding guidelines and like how to do certain things, which is super helpful. But like we should be using social media to showcase what's so great and grand about Phi Alpha. I know the music I have Facebook back a while ago. Yeah, they were doing Feature Brother Friday. And the last one they did was back in February. But like there was a period of time that I saw this popped up in my social in my Facebook feed probably once a week, twice a week, like the post would aggregate into my feed. Just have a picture of the brother, who they are, what they do, what they study, when they crossed, what they want to do. Like you want to showcase who they are. Or like, oh, and this is perfect. Another featured brother doing DCI. Like this is awesome.
Brother Swan, you threw me off so bad when you said Feature Brother Friday. So I was like, feature me what?
Yeah. Let's see. Does it change? Because I wanted to go look at this. Because this is like, did the screen change? Because it hasn't changed for me on the Zoom call.
Yeah, it's changed.
All right, good. So this is, not a lot of people get to see this kind of stuff. This is like the actual analytics behind a Twitter account. And it's super easy to find this stuff. And this is like for RBG. We're in a downtime. May was really rough. We had 140,000 impressions in February. And this is like how many an impression on social media, for those that don't know, is how many times a piece of content or a post showed up in someone else's feed. How many times an eyeball saw the piece of content. So in February, 28 days, we had 140,000 times something that we posted got seen. And that number, by and large, that's really how when I talk to a sponsor, if I go reach out to say HyperX or actually part of the reason this was so high was that we announced our partner. We have a partnership with Zowie for monitors for gaming monitors. That tweet on its own garnered just over 14,000 impressions. But when I go talk to Zowie and go, hey, we want to work with you. This is our following on social media. Like these are our follower counts. And then here are our impressions. Like this is how active and how seen we are. These are the tools that you at the chapter level can go. If you want to go to restaurant XYZ or maybe some sort of retail shop or whatever it is, you can literally go, hey, we're doing this charity event. We're doing this fundraiser. We're doing this event. We want you to be a part of it. And here's what we can do for you. If you want to support us, here's how we can help you. And that's that by and large, it's going that if chapters were really took that to heart and were able to really elevate that and willing to essentially close the sale, there's a lot of things like chapters would be like no chapter would ever be broke. The SCF would be full because at that point chapters would be like, there's no reason chapters wouldn't be able to make chapter level donations to the SCF to then further what the SCF does. Like the sky is really the limit when you can take all the things that we love and enjoy about Phi Alpha, still love and enjoy them, and then find ways to elevate them, showcase them, and then make them marketable and attractive. You're going to grow, you grow Phi Alpha, you grow your home, you grow your home institution. And you then also have, you've also created 10 entrepreneurial type people within the chapter, people who understand social media, they understand marketing, like they've garnered more skills. Like I know on my resume that I list that I was a president of a chapter because it showcases certain sets of skills. If you wanted to go into marketing, if you wanted to go into PR, you wanted to be a social media manager somewhere, being able to go on your resume and go, yeah, no, I managed all the social media accounts for my fraternity chapter, and here's what we did. You then have a huge resume booster just on that alone. Like the actual business behind Brotherhood, behind what we do, can literally accomplish anything. Like, and that's been like a big transformative thing for me running my own business. Because really what we do at RBG is it's a business. When I sit down with Josh and we have a non-brother owner, Colin, up in Seattle. When the three of us sit down, it's our executive board. We have a chief operating officer, we have a chief gaming officer, and our chief financial officer. When the three of us sit down and get together and talk about what we're like, what's on the horizon, what projects we're working on, and how we can elevate what we're doing, we're looking at our key performance indicators on socials. We're looking at tournament finishes. We're looking at all these things. So at the chapter level, let's start paying attention to like how often we post, how engaging that content is, how many times that we're hosting events, and how well are we documenting? Because like anything from a Mills Music Mission all the way to Rush Night, all of those things have moments that can become great content, great showcases, great anything that we can utilize to provide value. And that's really the name of the game when it comes to community building, to growth. It's what value can we provide? What can we do? What can we provide here in the moment that someone can't go to say, I don't know. They're a little bit different, but like, and brothers join both organizations, but like, if you have, let's say, here we go. Kappa Kappa Psi, let's say Kappa Kappa Psi on campus has 60 actives. What can Phi Mi Alpha provide that Kappa Kappa Psi isn't? And it's just like a rhetorical question for you to think about. And that's the crux of the situation is, what exclusive thing can we provide that they can't get anywhere else? Then how can we enjoy doing the thing and then also utilize it to create a pipeline of continuous growth and continuous recruitment? Because if chapters already had this framework set up where they had a year's worth of social media content and a great following on campus, really good engagement on campus, the recruitment numbers, the problems we're seeing in recruiting would be non-existent, because you'd have people breaking down the doors to get in. And that's really the direction I think we want to go in.
I had a bit of an answer for you. What can we offer that Kappa Kappa Psi?
Yeah, go for it.
String players and vocalists.
You're right.
in a very literal sense, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let me get caught back up on some highlights from chat too. Don't have TikTok, searchable. Yep, fully green. Giveaways, yeah.
Yeah, John had a pretty good question recently about the correlation between engagement online and a sense of belonging or connectedness to the organization. I think that might be Emmanuel. I'm a violinist and a pianist, so you're in good company, brother.
Yeah, no, I really think that the national office should be concerned of the lack of engagement, especially on Twitter. I would say so. If we go to, let's go to the. The actual page. 31,000 followers. I mean, that correlates directly to like how active the Symphonian group is and the Synoftian group. Like there's a huge correlation there. Like there's a lot of, especially with how many alumni still use Facebook. It's pretty big. And the likes here, like this is, it's a much better platform, But like, and again, the content is the same. And so this is, I mean, this is what I would do. Like if I wanted to engage Twitter and expand our growth on Twitter, I'd get back to doing that mega giveaway. Like say if we give away, and even if it's, let's go a step further to make this like super easy. We're going to do a membership campaign for Twitter, basically, or like a follower campaign on Twitter. We're going to give away, the national office is going to give away cost of attendance to, so basically a brother can attend for free. And I mean, with that, we're going to also take care of like travel and hotel, like the whole, let's just do the whole board. It's let's say we're going to make $1,000 commitment to getting a singular brother, active or alumni, doesn't matter, to come to national convention. And to be eligible to win, one, gotta be a brother in good standing. And that's easy to solve in post. Like that's not a problem, but you gotta find me off on Twitter. Gotta like the tweet, gotta retweet the tweet, and then tag a brother instead of tagging a friend, like tag your brother. Well, we don't have the following on Twitter right now. So how do we communicate it? Well, then you create one of these nifty little graphics, and in the thing, you make the post. Hey, we're going to do this thing on Twitter. You want to be involved? You got to go check us out on Twitter. And that way, because even then, like 82 likes and 82 likes on 31,000 followers, like that still gets in the territory of having 2 likes and 4,000 followers on Twitter. Like the conversion rate is still not, it's not good. Because if like, I don't know, let's take a look at say, Kappa Alpha, who are Kappa Alpha Psi? Who is this? Probably not what I'm looking for. Actually, trying to think of, is it Sigma Chi? What am I thinking of? Someone give me a super fratty frat.
Oh, Kappa Epsilon.
Kappa Epsilon.
Sorry, that was Tau Kappa Epsilon.
Oh, yeah, Teak. Thank you. Oh, that's a good one. That's actually a really good one. That's their group. I guess that's their page. Them not having a check mark is kind of weird. And they're still in the same ballpark. That's not super helpful. That doesn't make good for my case study here. But still, they have, what is it, 27,000 likes? So they're about four grand less. And their engagement's probably about the same.
How about Pike?
Pike. It's Pi Kappa
Alpha.
Yeah.
Very topical.
Yeah. Global group. I don't know if they actually have
a page. They gotta, right?
You would hope so, but all I'm seeing are chapter pages.
Maybe a sorority?
Oh, wait, here we go. And they got 41,000 followers. So, and I mean, sororities are, that's kind of cheating because I was looking at FIMU and Kyo earlier as well. Now, again, they're not doing all that hot either as far as like engagement. Although, that's got triple digits. But they're not, again, they're not tagging you. What's this right here?
So that one was for Wayne State. That's Detroit University.
Yeah. I don't know why this tiny URL is here. Is that tiny URL? Well, the tiny URL goes to, does that go to Wayne State? No, it goes to Michigan. Or I guess, no, it's about this donor support. I guess fraternity fundraising walkathon.
University of Michigan is only about 40, 45 minutes down the road from Wayne State. So it wouldn't surprise me if they were doing stuff together.
Yeah. But still, like we're seeing like triple digit stuff here, kind of sometimes. And it's better. But like that's the point. Like we want to find ways to drive engagement. If like Theta Omicron, that's triple digits as well. The engagement would probably be, I don't know if it would be better. But when you're inner tagging things is huge. So like when I make an announcement for RBG, Tagging the players, tagging the game, tagging a tournament organizer, whatever it is. Like, the more tags you have in your post, it's going to elevate, it's going to increase, it should, in theory, elevate the amount of eyeballs, because you're going to send off notifications. You're going to start a retweet train. Like, you're going to heighten what you're seeing. Going back to John's question, I wonder if there is a correlation between engagement online and the sense of belonging, connectedness to the organization. I would fully be on board with if Brothers felt less connected to Phi Mi Alpha in general because of what's going on, that they would care less about engaging on social. But it gets back to how do you get people to buy in? And to do that, you need to have engaging content. Like, it needs to stop being a message from the national president on the Symphonian website. Like, it needs to not be that. It needs to be some sort, even like on the national Facebook group or on the Facebook page, even if it's like a 1 minute video of Mark talking about something in a positive light, or a video of Brian Stratton talking about something. And that would actually be a really killer thing to do for National Convention. Like, because we have all this faculty for National Convention, let's get a 30 second, 1 minute video of that faculty member talking about the topic they're going to talk about at convention. Because I'll be honest, 80% of the convention faculty, I don't know who they are. I've never heard of them. And they may be an expert in whatever field they're going to discuss at a national convention. But as someone, I mean, I'm going to go regardless, but if I'm on the fence about going to the national convention, I want to, like, give me a sneak peek on like, why should I be going? And that'd be a really good way to, I think, to drive engagement. You want to, again, it gets back to what are we providing or not providing that people can go elsewhere to get. So I guess if I really wanted to learn about the convention faculty, I could just Google them and go find out more about them. But I shouldn't have to. Like, Phi Mi Alpha, the national office, should have already done that legwork for me.
It should be their responsibility to present the information rather than making you go pursue it.
Yeah, exactly. Should the fraternity be concerned if members are not liking? You know, I think they should be. Whether it doesn't really matter what social platform. If Brothers aren't engaged on any level, the national office should definitely be concerned. I have Brothers can't connect at typical chapter events, especially for alumni Brothers. This is a potential. Yeah. Like,
that was just a little personal musing about the potential answer to John's question.
And I agree with you, Dave. Like, that's one of the biggest reasons, like, why the DFW AAA still exists through the pandemic, is the fact that, like, Kevin McNerney and Brian Waddell did a really good job of
love those guys.
Yeah, you know, I love Kevin. Kevin, great guy. Kevin was HP. Kevin was HP at my initiation. It was fantastic. I loved it. But the
could say the darndest things.
But the fact that they held Zoom calls, like, instead of us meeting in person, the very fact that, like, I could at 2 o'clock on a Sunday know that I was going to be seeing Brothers and talking about stuff and sharing my wins with my team, like, and learning about what other guys had going on, or just anything to do, like, we would discuss what's going on at the national level. Like, it was just, we had those things, and it takes people like Brian Waddell. It takes Dave Friday. It takes these people that are willing to host those things and willing to help elevate, create those things, for people to feel connected. And because we don't have those right now. If it'd be hard, I mean, I want to say it would be hard to do, but in reality, it's not. Because, like, the fireside chats were a really good thing years ago, and to a certain extent right before the pandemic, probably still kind of were. But, like, those types of things were, like, if I knew that I could go here, like, if I knew that on 8 p.m. on Thursday night that I could sit down for a 30-minute talk from Jon Bon Jovi talking about something Famuyiwa related, or pick another, or me, I don't know, Kevin McNerney giving a presentation, but pick your favorite whoever you're into, knowing that I was going to be able to go learn something, be involved, be able to ask questions and engage with, even digitally, like those things draw, and it creates other methods and other content opportunities for you to then disperse it in pieces onto social media to then create FOMO for future events. Like if we have a really fantastic, say we have a really fantastic presentation from Brian Stratton on Mills Music Mission, and the next one's not going to be for 3 months, having bits and pieces of Brian Stratton talking about Mills Music Mission on social media creates the idea of, oh man, I really don't want to miss his next talk, so I'll be at the next one. Like it's engaging content and interesting content that creates FOMO and creates more community and a sense of belonging and wanting to be there. So having things like Zoom, like these Zoom calls are incredibly important. There's probably someone in the national staff that believe should have to sacrifice their money for NAPCON. I think it's a duty. What benefit is there for an organization to have active engagement on Twitter or Facebook, whether it's a chapter of the fraternity? I mean, it gets back to, so at the chapter level, and I've talked about this a lot. Like if you have strong social media presence, good impression rate, good click rate, if you're visible, that's a marketable and sellable tool, whether it's for a fundraiser, for whatever it is. Like I know that there's a, not on the collegiate, like not within the fraternity, but I know part of the like sponsorship sales that I do with RBG and talking to some of my competitors and colleagues in the esports industry, they're like G2 Esports a year and a half ago took their Instagram following, because like they're going to make, like most teams in general will like make posts for, oh hey, it's XYZ person's birthday today, whatever role they are within the organization. Like maybe they're the opper for their CSGO team, or they're the mid laner for their League of Legends team, whatever it is, they're a professional gamer, or they're president, they're like team president, or maybe they're the social media manager, or maybe they're just a content creator. We're going to be making a birthday post for this person anyway. And our post, let's say our post usually has a click rate of say 10,000 people will see this post within the first hour of us posting it. So that's an item that I can then go for in G2's case. G2 went to like a lollipop company in Europe. I forget the name of it, but they basically were like, you want to sell more lollipops? You want to sell more candy? How about you sponsor our birthday posts, and we will then feature your candy in the post. It'll be whatever person holding it. We wish XYZ gamer happy birthday today. Here's to like another 20 or whatever, with like branding using the candy. So we already have Musai doing featured Brother Friday. Maybe there's a local barbecue spot in Nacogdoches that wants to do an ad campaign. And it's instead of it just being a generic picture of a brother off of Facebook, maybe we take the time to like go to the barbecue spot. We go eat some barbecue, take photos of us eating the barbecue or of the food or whatever it is. And we use that. We use curtailed, curated content to then make our posts, because we're going to do it anyway. Like we're going to wish Brother Friday. We're going to wish Brother Smith happy birthday. Well, the national office is going to wish Brother Smith happy birthday, but we're going to be doing these things anyway. So let's do them in a way that is fun and would enable us to then turn it into a marketable thing that we could potentially sell. Because at that point, again, it just gets back to like having chapters, not be broke, having money to go do stuff and have fun and further elevate what we do. That to me, that's why at the chapter level, it's important. And the fraternity at the national level could do it as well. Like I know that the SCF paid for the Count Basie Orchestra to be at the national convention, but I probably would have not done the SCF, and I would have turned it into like a mutually beneficial thing where the Count Basie Orchestra has some sort of benefit. Like if the Basie Orchestra plays for free, but by coming to National Convention, I don't know, 1,000 brothers each buy a Count Basie Orchestra CD, or for the guys that still like things on vinyl, like having that kind of stuff. Like, there's other ways to slice it and dice it, but there's plenty of opportunity at the national level for this to scale up. And to me, that's why it's important. That's really what, like, the very fact that we don't have these types of things now, or like we don't have this culture or mindset or this framework already set up, is, to me, it's problematic. Like, it's, we're in 2022. We've been at Phi Mi Alpha for a very long time now, almost. We'll say a very long time, way longer than I've been alive. And we still, to a certain extent, still operate like in the days of pen and paper. And it's not that way. On Instagram, Phi Mi Alpha has 7,100 followers on average post. They have and that's awesome. But it can be better. In a perfect world, you want every platform to be like within 5% similar in follower count. So we're at 31,000 on Facebook. We would want to be like 26K or more on Twitter and on Instagram. You're onto something with Kappa Alpha Psi. Their main page has a bit of engagement. And that just gets back to like what the type of content itself. It really comes down to like the type of content and do the people buy into what is being put out there? Do I have it here? Or did I pack it away? There's a book that I am, oh, I have it right here. There's a book by Seth Godin. It's called Tribes. This is basically, it's kind of like a leadership entrepreneur book, but I would encourage you to read it just on the basic level of the ideas that are in this book really translate to almost any type of activity where you're community building. Because really, I mean, we say the business of brotherhood is what I'm saying, but like we want to build a better, stronger community. There's a whole chapter in here about Slayer. Like Slayer, Slayer is a very interesting band. Like conceptually, how they function. They don't operate like your traditional band, like a traditional rock band. They actually make far more money off of merch and ticket sales than they do off of selling their music. And that's because of the following that they have, that the tribe that they've built around their show. But yeah, there's a whole chapter in this book. It's not a big book, and it's only like $11, I think, on Amazon. It's 140 pages. It's by Seth Godin. It's a fantastic book. I have like a reading list of about 6 or 7 different books that I basically like, business entrepreneurial people that I basically go, like, if you want to be in business, like you need to read these books. It's this one. There's like 2 other classic ones that are like everybody reads. How to Win Friends and Influence People by Carnegie, and like the 7 Habits of the 7 Highly Effective Habits of Effective People, or whatever that is. It's a classic book. But it gets like, a lot of them are the ideas of community building is really what it gets down to. And that's
one. I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah. I would really appreciate it if you would put that list of books in your intro so that we can distribute that with your intro.
Oh,
doesn't have to be right this second.
Yeah,
like before the end of the night.
Yeah, I will get it for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem. Let's see. Is there intentionality to pick speakers, conductors, facilitators that don't have fraternity name recognition? There probably is. And it's also, I found that, I mean, I'm not upset about it, but I was intrigued at the choice of, with us being an all male fraternity, I was intrigued and curious about the, about there being women. Not that I'm not upset that there are women presenters. Like, I'm fully on board with it. If they have value to provide, like, that's, it's information to me. To me, information is information. I don't care who's giving it. But from like a conceptual thing of us being a national male fraternity, I was intrigued that, like, I'd be curious talking to some of the women presenters on like what their thoughts are presenting information to an all male audience. Like, it was interesting to me. So I think to that point, John, I think there was intentionality on how they picked speakers for whatever the reasons were. I'd be curious to talk to someone in the national office too about like what their thoughts are on some of the choices. Or there could be a disconnect between who believes they have name. Yeah. Before we begin, this lecture is brought to you by Squarespace. No, then that could be a thing. Before I got started in esports, there you go, Dave. Before I got started in esports, and before I even graduated, I was working for this website called cultureshocked.com. Not that this is, and this, I don't want this in the intro because I had a falling out with the owner. So like, we don't need to reference this, but like, I used to produce a podcast that was kind of like a movie review, pop culture stuff. And it was, I mean, I had a great time while I was there besides dealing with a rude boss, but like, I got to like interview actors and actresses, talk to film directors. Like, it was super cool to be able to do that kind of stuff. And not just anybody. Like, I was, got to interview Ellen Wong, who played Knives, and she played Knives Chow in Scott Pilgrim. Like, I got to talk to her for an hour. The bad guy from the original Mass Effect, Ron, what's his name? I'm going to say Ron. It's not Ron Howard. It's, I forget his last name, but I talked to him because he actually played Captain America in the ever first film adaptation of Captain America, filmed back in 1990. Like, I got to talk to him for an hour. I got to talk to, Mark Ralston, who was in two of the Saw films. We basically like spent an hour shitting on the Oscars. Like, it was fantastic. But like, getting to do that and produce content and you have a marketable product that had a following and a growing audience, like, that's a big part of podcast production now, is like, once you have that audience, you basically have like a 30-second tag of, hey guys, before we get started in today's episode, wanted to give you take a moment to talk about Game Time, which is like I recorded some like ad spot for this platform called Game Time, which is like a StubHub light. You could get like cheap tickets to football or basketball games. And the whole idea of being like, before we begin, this lecture is brought to you by Squarespace, like the classic YouTube stuff for like VPN, like NordVPN and all that. Like, that's a reality on like what some of these things can be. Like, right now, this is like a passion project for Dave, and it's hugely helpful and beneficial to not just the fraternity, but things that have like a more open audience. Like, this is huge, but it can turn into something much great, like much bigger than anything Dave might actually think of. Not that Dave doesn't have a big brain, but like, just to showcase like where things can go. Is the fraternity using Discord? And this is something I've always been interested in. I'm actually on, and this actually, we can put this in the intro. I should have put this in there. I'm actually on the board. I say the board. There's a group called the Phi Mi Alpha Symphonia Gaming Network. It's a group of about 3,000 plus brothers, actives and alumni, who the whole thing is basically, who wants to run four mans in Halo Infinite? Who wants to play Minecraft? Who wants to do that? Like, it's basically a gaming network thing for, so we can play games together. Well, before Josh and I had started RBG, we wanted to get a stream team going to showcase like Symphonian streamers and help build a brand that way and provide other ways for brothers to use gaming to give back to the national fraternity. And it turned into us adminning the Discord for the Phi Mi Alpha Gaming network. And I've always thought there had been a push to like open that Discord up to non-brothers. And when I was a Starbucks partner, I was actually, for a period of time, I was actually pretty active on the Starbucks Discord. And Starbucks's corporate Discord has like partner only areas and then areas for like the general public. And so I've always been interested in morphing the PMASGN Discord making it into the official like FIMU Alpha Discord and have a brothers only area, have a section for the general public to come in, engage, see cool stuff. It'd be like Discord is a huge technology that I think we should better take advantage of. But as of right now, I do not know of an official PMA Discord. And I think there needs to be one. Today's lecture is brought to you by Monster Rehab. Monster Rehab, funnily enough, I have one here. It's one of the only energy drinks I still drink. Because the 25 calories, low sugar.
Non-carbonated. So yeah. That's the big thing for me.
And non-carbonated, yeah. Yeah, the Monster Rehabs, I'm a big fan of. Because, it's been October of last year. No. October 2 years ago? It's been so long since I've had a soda that I've lost count.
Half a year or a year and a half?
No, 529 days.
That's a year and a half.
Yeah, okay, year and a half. So last October. No, I guess 2 Octobers ago at this point, right? Because it was October. So October 2020.
Yep.
Yeah, October 2020. I said, nope, no more. Because I literally, tons of Dr. Pepper. And then anytime I went to DreamHack or like a gaming convention, especially if Monster was a sponsor, because at DreamHack, Monster is like a major sponsor for DreamHack. So you can just walk up to the Monster booth and get it for free. So, and it's not like a clicker where it's like, oh, you only get two free ones. It was literally like, it's a 3 day event, 3-4 days that we're walking around convention floor. And literally every 2 hours, oh yeah, I'll take a Monster. Oh yeah, I'll take a Monster. Like I could have 6 or 7 in a weekend and not even think about it. But yeah, no, October 2020 said no. So it's only like water, tea, these. I drink this thing called Gamer Subs because RBG sponsored by him. I don't have any up here, but it's like a no sugar supplement type thing. Are you enjoying listening to this lesson? Let me tell you about Audible. Yeah. Let's see. Closest is PMA. Oh, hey, Ryan Smith, bringing up the PMA. Yeah, thanks, man. No, what it is about Discord, but I've seen about Go Dead, and it gets back to when you community build, and I yell at my staff at RBG about this. Whenever I'm on a guest panel talking about community building within esports, community building in general, the concept is the same when it comes to building a community. It doesn't matter if it's a local chapter for FIMU Alpha, it doesn't matter if it's at the national level, it doesn't matter if it's about your business. When you want an engaged community, what do you provide that your user base can't get elsewhere? So if you're not providing that, your Discord server is going to go dead in 2 weeks. The chapter is going to go away after 2 years. And we actually see this a lot. Dave, when was the last time you guys had a colony in Province 2?
We had a colony installed as a chapter in 2015.
Are they still around?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We had a colony recently in Province 32 that like after 3 years just like shut down because they weren't providing what they were supposed to be providing. Like it just like when you're not providing to your user base, the product just goes away. And I'd be very curious to see like some stats on the national level on like how well colonies actually function after they actually become full-fledged chapters. Cause I think it lends into like a case study of what FIMU Alpha provides to a college student.
You definitely want to talk to some of the previous representatives from the Commission on Standards. Then I'm thinking specifically of Ash Glenn, Mm-hmm. He definitely kept track of that sort of stuff. I've heard lots and lots of stories, very similar to the colony that you described. It's not necessarily that they're cutting corners as part of the process, but rather than, I'm not sure this is the appropriate term to use, but rather than whole-assing something, they may tend to half-ass something and aren't creating sustainability for themselves because they are not doing, as you said, providing something new that they solely can provide to the university. It could be that they don't know how to effectively recruit. It could be that the money that they said that they had in their checking account was just a bunch of brothers donating a bunch of money to get a bank statement that says, yes, we have money, and then taking it all back, and then they're not financially viable. I've heard some stories, man. There are lots of reasons why colonies fold in the first couple of years.
Oh, yeah. The most terrifying one I have is a random, like a brother after like, it was like year three of the chapter being active. And some brother was like, well, I'm in a really bad financial situation and I'm leaving college. So he emptied the account and just kind of left. It's like $3,000 and just walked out the door. It's insanity.
Did they have a chapter debit card? Just curious.
Don't get me started, Ryan. Don't get me started.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't have a debit card. Yeah, no, that's it's insane. Well, I've basically, man, it's now 8, and for me, it's 8:40, 9:40 for you guys. I don't want to start talking in circles because I'll just end up reiterating everything I've already said, and I don't know how helpful this has been for a lot of people or how insightful it's been. As I tell any group of Symphonians that I talk to about these kinds of things, my DMs are always open on Twitter and on Facebook. On Facebook as well. I'm always down to talk about these types of things. And because really, as much as we want to see things change at the national level, like it's going to take willing and dedicated people, willing and dedicated brothers at the local collegiate level to really make effective change and set good examples. Like that's going to be the real turning point when we have I'm not going to say Musai is perfect because they're not, but like to me, they're an okay example of like what to look for. Same with Zeta Sigma on their Instagram. Like there's a lot of really good nuggets there that basically instead of like a post every week, it needs to be scheduled. Like have a post on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, have something scheduled, like have something different for Tuesday, Thursday. Like the really, really successful content creators have a plan and a backlog of content as well. A buddy of mine, John Davidson, who hosts, he has his own podcast called his company's called the Davidson Learning Company. He used to be a influencer manager for GameStop. And now he's basically doing like generic esports education stuff. And so he has his own company called the Davidson Learning Company, and his podcast is called the DLC Drop. And while that's also clever and really good marketing, it's like a new episode every week. And on top of that, I was talking to his producer like 2 weeks ago, and they have like a backlog of like 8 episodes. Like if John can't get it together and like produce an episode in the giving week, like they have 8 to choose from for them to just push out so John can take time to reset. And to do that, it takes diligence, planning, and a team of people. And if we can get that happening at the collegiate level, how it should be, because you already should have a team of people. You need to have people buy in to really make that happen.
Most definitely. Well, Brother Swan, I'm going to take over in my hosting duties then. First thing I want to say, thank you so much. I have taken a lot out of this, and I really hope everybody else did. So, brothers, can we show some appreciation for Brother Swan taking the time out of his day to present to us? This was really, really wonderful. Really great stuff.
Thank you so much.
Before we conclude for the night and enter, you know, the social and discussion portion of the evening, were there any questions specifically for Brother Swan on the subject of marketing the business of brotherhood, etc.? All right. Well, in that case, I am going to go ahead and stop recording real quick.